Beloved Lord Jesus, we turn our hearts to you,
Amen.
That the veil will be taken away,
Amen.
And we all will behold the glory of God in the face of Christ Jesus.
Amen.
And Lord, as we are beholding, please shine in our hearts. Shine in every heart in this meeting.
Amen.
Shine in us for the glory of God.
Amen.
And the building up of the body of Christ.
Amen.
Glory be to the triune God.
Amen,
amen and amen.
Amen.
So the subject of message 6 is the triune God in Christ being life to us. That's the goal. The triune God in Christ being life to us by shining in our hearts. So God's shining in our hearts, that opens the way for the triune God in Christ to be life to us. So this is a very practical and experiential point, shining in our hearts. And when the Lord is about to shine in our hearts, His intention eventually is to reach the depths of our inner being, that no part of our soul will be unable for Him to teach, to reach. He will shine in us. And this word about speaking God's shining doesn't originate in 2 Corinthians. A few verses from the Old Testament testify of this. Numbers 6:25, Jehovah make His face to shine upon you and be gracious to you. This was a prayer to Jehovah God. May His face shine on us. This is not just words in the Bible. This is what the Lord is saying to us. May His face shine on us at the present moment. If we are an open vessel, He has a way to reach our inner being. Psalm 31:16, a prayer. Cause Your face to shine upon Your servant. Save me in Your loving kindness. So anyone serving the Lord, and if we are truly enlightened, we will realize every member of the body is serving the Lord. The prayer is, shine upon Your servant. And then three verses from Psalm 80, they're very similar, but they also have some distinctions. Psalm 80:3, O God, restore us and cause Your face to shine and we will be saved. Verse 7, O God of hosts, restore us and cause Your face to shine and we will be saved. Verse 19, O Jehovah, God of hosts, restore us. Cause Your face to shine, and we shall be saved. So God's shining is intrinsically related to the organic aspect of our salvation. And then there's another verse. This is in the New Testament, when a man named that we know is Paul, he was fully giving himself to destroy all the churches and to bring to judgment and death to many believers. And he was there when one young man was stoned to death. And when that man was dying, he was Christ expressed. The heavens were opened. He saw the Son of Man at the throne. And when the Lord was looking at him, he saw himself lived again. And he said, when he was crying out, "Lord, don't hold this against them. They don't know what they're doing." That Paul was there. But at the time ordained by the Lord, as Paul was on a journey to another city, was given authority to capture anyone calling on the name of the Lord. That's going to be the indicator. If I hear anyone calling on that name, I will arrest him and bring him to Jerusalem. Well, our wise God did not send another apostle to argue with him. Probably no one would be able to win an argument with such a, humanly speaking, brilliant person. So the Lord took another way which no one can resist. And this is what he said when he was on the way in Acts 26:13. "I saw a light from heaven beyond the brightness of the sun shining around me." And that is how the Lord gained him, by shining on him. And the real situation is that no human being can withstand the shining of the triune God. When the light, brighter than the sun, is shining on us, we can only respond in a positive way. And when the Lord returns at the end of this age with the bridal army as his companion, they will be coming, all of them, with a shining face to bring the glory of God to the earth. Then we'll see at the end of the outline that for eternity in the New Jerusalem, and please be clear, the New Jerusalem is not a place and it's not a city. It's a person. We know this from Revelation 21, verse 2, "I saw the New Jerusalem coming down as a bride prepared for her husband." That's not a place. That's a person. Then in verses 10 and 11, an angel said, "Come here, John, I will show you the wife, the bride of God." Then what he saw was the New Jerusalem coming down. And so for eternity, we will be living in this shining in every part of our being. So now we come to the outline itself, and we just go step by step because I'm more than focusing on the outline itself. As far as I know, from the inner leading of the Lord, I'm not going to bring in any other matters. I'm just focused on this point by point. Okay, verse 1. "In whom the God of this age has blinded the thoughts of the unbelievers, that the illumination of the glory of the gospel of the glory of Christ, who is the image of God, might not shine on them." So here we have the word glory, because it's so closely related to shining. And so the definition of glory that I would like to use is God expressed in splendor. That's glory. And if you pray, read again and again 2 Corinthians 3:18, we're being transformed into His image from glory to glory. And we know from the Lord's praying in John 17, He's praying for our oneness. And the highest level of His prayer was He prayed to the Father that the glory that You have given to Me, I am giving to them. Because when we are all saturated with the divine glory, there will be no self-expression by anyone or any place ever again. But we are all now in a procedure. When you come to the microphone, I'm not judging anyone, but the stage of your development is quite obvious, and it's nothing to be ashamed of. You've got a son who is 11, you've got a daughter who's 17. They realize that they are in a growing mode. You know where we are. Long as we are in the procedure, Christ will be shining in us, and the gospel of the glory will become real to us. Now, point A, Satan, the god of this age, has blinded the thoughts and the minds of the unbelievers so that the illumination of the glory of Christ, of the gospel of Christ's glory, might not shine in their hearts. I put this little section in the outline for a reason. Something we need to realize, especially for our loving concern about the young generation. There is attack from enemy on this generation more intense than anything I've ever beheld, ever seen before. And because where we are, they have a phone, they have an iPad. Click, click, click. They can be anywhere. And their mind is open. And all kinds of things that have their source in Satan and the god of this age is just putting it into them more and more and more and more. And I remember a few years ago, hope it's okay, brothers, in the Boston area, because this is very positive. I was have a meeting with some full-time serving ones that were devoted to preaching the gospel on the universal campus, especially at Harvard. And you're going two by two. But before you go, and while you are presenting Christ to someone who is willing to listen to you, one is speaking. The other needs to be praying to bind the god of this age. Lord, open up this man's heart, this person's heart, that the Lord may shine into them. And there is a loving concern in many of us, even if our children are grown up, and even our grandchildren are growing up. We have a loving concern for the children of all the saints. I just couldn't tolerate what they get in a public school in Southern California. It's just dreadful. But we want to protect them, and that is why we have this little point. 1, 2, 3. Those who are blinded or veiled think that they do not worship anything. Actually, their god is Satan. Atheists worship Satan without knowing what they're doing. They don't know. Nearly all people today have been blinded by the god of this age. And this expression, God of this age, refers to Satan as the one ruling over this present period of time from the air. Of course, the Lord on the throne is ruling above that, but we have to accept the fact. That is why this burden has just been waiting and waiting for an opportunity. And a number of dear saints, they just asked, please run. Could you have a series of meetings with us concerning spiritual warfare? Because Europe is going to be where the most intense warfare that will be on the whole earth. And when you go there, you're in another realm. But we're not afraid of that because we have the vision of the Christ, the victorious one. But we realize the battle is going on and the Lord wants to have a bridal army prepared. If the bride is making herself ready, she's making herself ready in many ways. But one aspect is she has to be an experienced warrior. I'm sure there's no brother that really has a strong feeling for a dear sister, and it seems that she has a similar feeling, and they want to begin a kind of courtship. I don't know if you would ever say, you know, what my burden is, but whomever I marry, she has to be trained in fighting. Now, that's unusual. Or at least you could say, in part of our married life, as we're just growing together and loving one another, we're willing to be trained along with others to engage in spiritual warfare. So now let's leave the God of this age alone. He's going into the lake of fire, and so he doesn't deserve any more attention. A B, Christ as the image of God is the effulgence of his glory. The effulgence is the extremely bright shining forth of his glory. So glory is God expressed in splendor. So now the shining and the glory, they're distinct, but they're not separate. They go hand in hand. Hence, the gospel of Christ is the gospel of his glory that illuminates, radiates, and shines in our hearts. So right now, at this present moment, if our heart is turned to the Lord and we are an open vessel, and the God of glory can shine into us, just look, it illuminates, it radiates, and shines in our hearts. I just appeal to you in a gentle way, in your personal life with the Lord, whether it's in the morning or any time during the day, it's not just a morning thing, it's an all-the-time thing. And it may just come to your remembering again, Lord, I open my whole being to you. Please shine into me. When I meet you at the judgment seat, I want you to be able to say, well done. You allowed me to shine into every part of your being. Come in to the enjoyment for 1,000 years. See, the gospel of the glory of Christ is the gospel of the glory of the blessed God. I just wonder to what extent. And again, this is not a judgment, it's not a criticism, it's just a seeking. How often do we praise God. I remember something that happened, humanly speaking, a long time ago in around 1968. One of the elders in the church in Los Angeles was an older person, much older than the other three, and he was closely related to Watchman Nee and a very discerning person. And whenever he spoke, it was about nothing more than one sentence at a time. And a young brother came up to him as they were coming into the meeting hall for the Lord's table in the evening, because the Lord's suppers are in evening. And he said, "Praise the Lord." And then he said, "Praise him for what? For what?" So he did say, "Praise the Lord." That's better than saying nothing, but that's childish praise. Should we all not have in our inner being, after this delightful conference with various speaking brothers ministering their portion of the New Testament ministry in a faithful way, and the Lord has been shepherding us, caring for us, should we not thank him and even praise him and worship him? But don't do it just because I'm suggesting it. But may the Lord just gain ground in us. There's a little booklet, actually. There's one serving at LSM. I just suggested that we print it as a booklet, taking it from the collected works of Watchman Nee on praising. It's very touching. Okay. D. By dispensing God's life and nature in Christ into God's chosen people, the gospel of the glory of Christ shines forth God's glory, in which God is blessed among the people. So God's shining has two aspects to it. One is he's shining into your heart and my heart. And please get ready for this. This is quite, can be quite encouraging. The more the Lord shines in you, the more he will shine through you. When you go back to work, we all have to do that. We go back to school, whatever it is. Those who are somewhat familiar, that you've been working in the same place together, they may realize, what happened to you this weekend? What did you do this weekend? Well, you could say many things. I'm not saying it should be focused on message six, but you might say, well, I was under God's shining. And I received his speaking in six messages. Well, there'll be no need for us to say anything because we're not going to be conscious of our shining, because that would be a subtle aspect of the self. So there's no awareness of it. But you're aware of is God shining in you through Christ as the Spirit, but others sense, wait a minute, something is shining through you. This is what would happen between now and the end of this year if every day we're living under the shining of the Lord. I believe this is on the Lord's heart. He wants to save hundreds of more people to be saved and to join us in receiving the shining of the Lord. A two. I'm just pausing here. As I was thinking, should I mention this verse or not? I still don't know whether I should mention the verse or not, but I have a positive feeling. As I was preparing, not just in the last minute, but preparing for quite a length of time, Acts chapter 6, verse 4, where the apostle said, "We will continue abiding. We will continue steadfastly in prayer and in the ministry of the Word." So that's one reason I have the Word of the Bible as the main points again. The God who said, "Out of darkness light shall shine," is the one who shined in our hearts to illuminate the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. Okay, obviously this is not a training. I'm not going to try to insert an aspect of training. But I would just gently ask about your experience here, God shining in your heart to give the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. So, again, just in a tender way, are you really beholding the face of the glorified Christ? Please don't come to the microphone in a very kind of excited way. But if you could come just in a normal God-man expression to be able to truly testify, by the Lord's mercy and grace, I've been gazing on His face. It's not just words. It's not just teaching. The teaching was based upon the reality. So even right now, inwardly, we can behold Him, the glory of His face, the face of Jesus Christ. A, God's shining in our hearts results in the illumination of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. That is, in the enlightenment that causes us to know the glory of God in the gospel of Christ. So this is the result of God's shining. God's shining results in others the illumination of what? Of the knowledge of what? Of the glory of God. This knowledge of glory of God is not a doctrine about I can define glory and God. It's something that you are touching, that you are experiencing. The glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ, then you can honestly say, I'm still a learner. And I'm up here, I tell you, I'm still a learner, even while I'm giving a message. A learner. But we, as learners, we can say to some extent, Lord, we've seen the glory inwardly on the face of Christ Jesus. And I'm pausing here again. I just have a definite leading. My beloved brothers and sisters, do you really know spiritually that another person is living in you? Another person. Not just life as a thing, not just glory as an aspect, but a person. Christ as a person. And what he wants to do, he as the life-giving spirit is mingled with our regenerated human spirit. But he does not want, and we do not want, our spirit to be a prison. What do you mean, Ron? Well, he's here, but we're keeping him here. That's why Paul prayed while he was still in some kind of prison with a soldier there guarding him. He knelt down in Ephesians 3 and prayed, Father of glory, strengthen them with power through your spirit into the inner man, that Christ may make his home in their heart through faith. And Brother Lee has a message in a particular book on this prayer. And please don't misunderstand what I'm trying to say. He said, if you really come to understand and experience this prayer, you wonder if you need any other prayer. Praying for Christ to make his home in your heart. So, to be honest, for decades, especially when I could be proking, that is walking and praying, okay? Early in the morning, around 5:30 or so, those days are gone outwardly, physically, but they're not gone inwardly. And just to make that prayer again, Lord, strengthen me into the inner man. Lord, make your home in my heart. Well, if he's going to make his home in your heart, that is going to involve a lot, all the parts of your heart, that this illustration may or may not help. Many times, and I was invited to a locality for a weekend conference, and so I'm in someone's home, and many times they say, Ron, we're glad that you could stay with us. And our daughter, 17 years old, she's giving, you know, her room to be your room for the time you're here. And just consider it your own. Well, I know I can't do that, but what if I said, okay, you said this is really my room. Okay, the color on the wall. Men do not want pink walls. And so please put some kind of light green, okay? And then how am I going to sleep? It's full of animals. Where am I going to lie down? And then you said everything is here for you. So I said I put on this instrument that plays all kinds of music, but I don't want that. Remove it. If it's 507 things, remove it. I want Mozart. And then what happens is they would say, Ron, please excuse us. We're going to have a little family meeting. And then they come and say, Brother Ron, I think you'd really like being in a 5-star hotel. There's one nearby. Okay. Well, I appreciate their kindness that I could be there, but Christ is not visiting us. He's living in us. He wants access to every part of our being to make his home in our heart, to make his home in your what you remember. Older people, they, to some extent, they live by memories. The younger ones, You can correct me if I'm remembering wrong going back 65 years. It's your view of the future. Oh, what it may be, what can I expect? But right now, we need to let the Lord make His home in us. And it all depends on to what extent we use our human will not to do something, but to make a decision, to say, Lord, I make this choice. My heart is your home. And I'm opening every part of my heart. And do whatever you want or need to do to feel comfortable in my mind, emotion, will, every part. What is in my heart, day and night, in any message I may present, the core of my being is it must be experiential. We cannot stop with doctrine. We need the objective truth, of course. But we want to have the reality in our experience. Okay, back to this point, 2b. The illumination of the knowledge of the glory of God is in the face of Jesus Christ. So the illumination and the knowledge of the glory of God is in His face. So as we are beholding His face, we are receiving this illumination. This indicates that the gospel of the glory of Christ is a lovely person on whose face we can see the glory of God. I'm so thankful for the one or two messages that emphasize this point. I just like to continue it and build on it. That we need and we want to have this realization, a lovely person. We can see the face of this lovely person and see the glory of God. We can see God expressed in splendor from His face. And the time will come, and I believe this will be when we are all part of the corporate New Jerusalem. We will all, in our face, just be radiating Christ to one another. We're all going in this direction. We're in various stages, and that's normal. There's no competition. Don't measure yourself by someone else. You just are where you are. But where some of us are, you're going to be maybe 30 years faster than we did. Yeah, that's how it is. And that's what's in our heart for you. Because you may be the final generation, and many of you will be trained for the final warfare. And probably some elderly brothers and sisters will still be here to lead you and guide you into the battle. But isn't it your feeling? We're nearing the end of this age. Isn't there the desire and the longing in you? Lord, come back. Please come back. Then inwardly he may say, I want to come back. Once my bride has made herself ready. And then you may want to ask him, or you seek out fellowship about this. Lord, what does this involve about being part of the bride who's made herself ready? Would you want to know? And we could just share a few things with you. You need to grow to maturity. You need to know what righteousnesses are, because you're going to make your wedding dress out of righteousnesses. You need to be this and that, And we're all in this together. C, the glory of God manifested in the face of Jesus Christ is the God of glory expressed through Jesus Christ, who is the effulgence of the glory of God. To know Him is to know the God of glory. So to know Christ in this way is to know the God of glory. Not know about the God of glory, but to know the God of glory. So something wonderful is ahead of you for all of us, that we may know personally the God of glory. D, the more God shines in our hearts, the more we will shine on others so that they may have the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. That is the knowledge of Christ, who expresses and declares God. The gospel of the glory of God first shines into us, and then it shines out from within us. So I want to stay on this for about a minute or two more. The more God shines in our hearts, the more we will shine on others, so that they may have the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Christ Jesus. Is there any person that you know that in your heart you just long for that person will be saved? Will be saved. To be regenerated. And at least we would pray, Lord, do what you need to do to arrange the situation where this one will be saved. And I would suggest in the prayer you might add to this, and Lord, save him, save her before the end of this year. And then to realize all of us are not only those experiencing Christ shining in our hearts, but Christ shining out from our heart through others. We're not going to be aware of it, but we want to be living this kind of life, not just for our own maturing, but for the benefit of just many, many other human beings. We're not self-centered. We're not just content if we're maturing and I'm getting rapture ready, there's still a kind of a hidden part of the self there. That if you've done something, then that's enough. If you're really developing, you're going to have much more loving concern in your heart. Not just for a few people, for hundreds, for thousands of people. Your heart is enlarged. There was recently a message given this on a Wednesday night, the Lord enlarging our heart so that more can be expressed for the glory of God. And so that is the knowledge of Christ, who expresses and declares God. The gospel of the glory of Christ first shines into us, and then shines out from within us. So a simple prayer, Lord, please shine in me. Lord, please shine through me for the benefit of others. Okay, point three. We have this treasure in earthen vessels that the excellency of the power may be of God and not out of us. Okay, point A. Through the illumination of the gospel of the glory of Christ, the Christ of glory, as the excellent treasure, is received by the believers. How? Listen to this. The shining reality of Christ, the embodiment and expression of the triune God, is the treasure within us. So I hope now we can take at least a little step forward to understanding what this treasure is. I want to go through this point A again. Through the illumination of the glory of Christ, the Christ of glory, as the excellent treasure. The Christ of glory is the treasure. The excellent treasure is received by the believers. Now, the shining reality of Christ. I just love this. I'm not the origin of this. The minister of the age at this expression. The shining reality of Christ. One of the words that touched me the most in the New Testament and in the of the ministry material is reality. Reality. That we can all be very thankful and appreciate for what we've been learning. To a certain degree we understand. But eventually a deep yearning will emerge from within you. Lord, make this real to me. Lord, I just pray for the shining reality of the all-inclusive Christ. So the shining brings the reality. And no matter what your age is, humanly or spiritually, at least a certain extent, you can just discern without judgment, but you can just discern with this sister, there is reality. I know I can have genuine fellowship, nothing political, nothing self-made. And the same with just needing some kind of help through fellowship with this brother. You just have the assurance that I'll be touching something real. And what is shared will be something of the shining reality of Christ. I love this, the shining reality of Christ. If I were in the Philippines and I did what I said this one time several years ago, if I said, the shining reality of Christ is the measure within me, I said, that would be very interesting to have a shirt with this on the front. The next day, someone will come after the meeting and say, Ron, here it is. So I don't want to have that something outward, but to be among those that are knowing and experiencing the shining reality of Christ, with much thankfulness and praise, this is the treasure in me. I'm an earthen vessel. I know what I am physically, but there is this wonderful treasure in me, the shining reality of Christ. One, God's shining, which is God's dispensing, in our hearts brings into us a treasure, the all-inclusive Christ, who is the embodiment of the triune God as the life-giving Spirit to be our life and everything. See, God's shining. And that's God's dispensing. So when He's shining, He's dispensing certain aspects of the all-inclusiveness of Christ. God's dispensing in our hearts brings into us a treasure, the all-inclusive Christ. So let me pause here. The all-inclusive Christ. And then we read, He is our life and everything. So let's just look at this from this perspective for a moment. Do you realize, okay, get ready, if you realize Christ is all-inclusive, you are nothing. He's all-inclusive. So whatever you need to have, whether it's patience, endurance, humility, love, it's the all-inclusive Christ that is this. And so in 2019, after I gave a certain message when he had a crystallization study of numbers, and the message was on the Lord's authority and his warfare dealing with the enemy. And a very young, no doubt she's, I have to say she's a sister. But surely she didn't use her own name, because the name that she had was in the Bible, but it's considered a satanic name. And she said, "You're nothing. You're nothing." And my response was this, although I didn't respond with writing back, I just said, "I am nothing. I have nothing. I can do nothing. And I learned this before you were born." And just, this is such a release to try to find something within us that we can do. If Christ is all-inclusive, that it really means, it can't just be a phrase. He's everything. Whatever our situation is in a God-arranged environment, and while we're there, we need a particular aspect of Christ in us. And we may not necessarily know what it is. We just know, I just have to have you living in me. And we just let him be what we could never be, and allow him to do what we could never do, because he's our life and everything. And so, no matter what is taking place, when the cardiologist told me, when 2022, he put a lot of stents in my heart. 5 of them are there. He said, they won't work anymore. You need open heart surgery. Quadruple. And my immediate response was peace and thankfulness. And when my wife heard the same thing, the same reaction, then I realized immediately, this is a body matter. And this is going to be all of our realization. We cannot live without the organic body of Christ. The time will come. And the body can exist without you, but not as well as with you. Many, many years ago, a sister called me, and I hadn't much experience myself, but she said, "Ron, I think it's better that, better for the church if I was not here. And I didn't know what to say. So I had some sense, maybe this is from the Spirit. I said, yes, you could leave, but it's much better with you than without you. We need every member. Now point two, the priceless treasure, the indwelling Christ, is the divine source of the supply for the Christian life. So the treasure that's in you, the indwelling Christ, it's the source of the supply for the Christian life. We need to eventually need to know the source. When it comes to many aspects in the church life, in the ministry, in the work, in our personal life, we need to realize God the Father is the source. That is why we learned, Brother Ed and I, we learned directly from Brother Lee's way of preparing for conferences and trainings. We just know God the Father was the source of everything He did. And we wouldn't dare say that we match Him, but we are in the similar, the same category. We didn't just, a couple of weeks ago, have a short conversation and say, what about we this? Yeah, that's good. Let's do this. There's waiting on the Lord. There's seeking the Lord. And then we just share with each other in an open way. Than to have the assurance that the subject, the source is God the Father. Now, what are the subjects? What are the topics? We have to know the source. Then how do we compose the outline? Father God, you're the source. How can we give the message? We have to be very careful. Especially if you're somewhat gifted. It can be partially God the source. The self is also the source. But the Lord will bring us to the point that the indwelling Christ is the source of the supply for the Christian life. And He gives the supply not all at once. It's just continuously. Just like your heart is beating, has it ever stopped? Does it say, can I take a little break for 10 minutes? I'm worn out. No. And so it's the same with this. It's just little by little, unending. KB, the priceless treasure, has made the earthen vessels ministers of the new covenant with a priceless treasure. This is by the divine power in resurrection, the excellency of His power. This power is surely of God and not out of us. Okay, this priceless treasure has made the earthen vessels ministers of the new covenant. Do you realize that you are a minister of the new covenant? You may or may not. But every member of the body is one who is a minister of the covenant with a priceless ministry. We gave some messages on this, and a recent one in Itero, that when you read, study Ephesians 4, the gifts that certain brothers were the apostles and prophets and shepherds and teachers. They train and perfect the saints. The saints have the ministry. Every member of the body. Then the body will build itself up in love through the members, and all the members are ministers. But in our mind, we still may have unintentionally a kind of religious concept. Oh, these are the ministers and these are the ordinary people. That's like preachers and ordinary people. The brothers that have come up here, whether they're standing or sitting, are just one of the brothers, one of the members of the body. We're not in a unique category. We have a certain portion of the ministry, and we need to stay within our measure. And this upcoming Wednesday night, this is going to be part of a crucial message on that God is a measuring God, not just the kind of measuring from the previous message, but measuring how much we can do and what we can do and where we can do it and how long we can do it. But nevertheless, we all, being members of the body, have a portion of this ministry. This is by the divine power in resurrection. The excellency of the power is surely of God and not out of us. This seems so simple that the power is not of me, but out of God. It's easy to agree with that, but we may not realize that just continuously, we're just trying to get through this. I'm trying to understand this. I can endure this. This indicates you're turning to yourself as the source. Eventually you'll realize, and a lot has to come when we realize, when there's a need, immediately I turn to the Lord. You are everything. And just do what you need to do. Okay, see? Those who receive the gospel of glory through our shining will have Christ as the precious treasure dispensed into them. Isn't it a privilege? Isn't it delightful to be the channel that someone receives Christ in this way? And you realize that the Christ who's in you is now in them. And you were the channel of doing this. What a privilege this is. This is what would happen if in the, say, between now and the end of 2025, each one of us brought one other human being to salvation in this way. Wouldn't we all be uplifted? Wouldn't we be thankful? Wouldn't we praise the Lord? Wouldn't the enemy be put to shame? And who did this? Not just some expert speakers giving messages, you know, for salvation, but just all the ordinary brothers and sisters in the Lord's recovery by Christ shining in them and shining through them, they brought someone else to salvation. Maybe some at your school before you graduate. How about that? Maybe you already did. Don't take this as a charge. Just realize you have this capacity within you. I can tell by your expression, right? He's shining out of you right now because he's shining into you right now. Yes. Point four. We all, with unveiled face, beholding and reflecting like a mirror, the glory of the Lord, are being transformed into the same image from glory to glory, even as from the Lord's Spirit. So we are beholding the glory of Christ. But what is applied to us is through the Lord's Spirit. And notice that we all with unveiled face. It's so simple. This is how I begin every morning. Lord, I turn my heart to you. Because I don't know where my heart is when I'm sleeping and when I'm half awake from 3:30 to 5. Old guys have nights like this. I hope you're raptured before your sleeping is affected like that. And so I just begin every day, just like we don't wake up and say, Lord, abide in me and I will abide in you. Then he's not going to abide. So we turn our heart to the Lord and exercise our spirit. Okay, I will turn my heart and I will abide in you by exercising the mingled spirit in me. And so this shining will have Christ as the precious treasure dispensed into them, these other ones. Then like us, they will be earthen vessels containing the priceless treasure. And so our body especially is an earthen vessel. And the time will come, you'll be in Song of Songs, chapter 8. She's already mature. She's a companion for Solomon. She's called Shulamite. And in chapter 7, they're co-workers. And she even takes the lead. She said, let's rise up early in the morning and go to all the villages and just minister to them. And then she said, there I will give you my love. While we're serving together, I'm going to say, I love you, Lord. But then in chapter 8, she said, I want to see you outside, meaning of this present physical body. And, you know, don't try to feel this if you're 17 years old, even if you are a young 57. Yeah, 57. Young adult. Someone here in 96 is going to say, yeah, Ron, young 84. Okay. But the time will come when you do the best you can. It's not easy. When you're an elderly person, physically, it's not easy. We got to stay here, but there's just this positive yearning. Lord, I want another body, like you mentioned in Philippians 3, a transfigured body, but it's not going to happen today. We still have to deal with the present thing. But eventually, that's where our yearning will be. But until then, we'll still be earthen vessels. But we shouldn't be consciousness of being earthen vessels. We're aware of it. But what we're conscious of is the priceless treasure. And not only in yourself, but in others, it's easy to see the weaknesses or the limits or the peculiar things in one another. And then we have some kind of thought or feeling about it. We need to exercise our spirit to see one another in and through the Lord. That we're all in the process, that eventually what we are inwardly will be expressed what we are outwardly when we're all transfigured, when we're all raptured alive. Wouldn't that be wonderful if all of us, wherever we are, we live until the end, and now it's just at the end of the first 3.5 years of the 70th week, and we know the Lord's going to come, and then we're all raptured wherever you are. Maybe we would not meet again in this place. This may sound like a dream. Well, let it be a spiritual dream. If I don't see you here again or somewhere else, I hope to see you at the throne when we all are raptured together. This is going to happen. Maybe it'll happen with the majority of us that are here. Okay. Four. Okay. Okay, then now in C, this is an ongoing process in life, in resurrection. Did I read point B? Huh? Okay, let me go through it again then. The glory of the Lord is the glory of the resurrected and ascended Christ, who is the life-giving Spirit dwelling in us to make Himself and all that He has accomplished, attained, and obtained real to us, so that we may be one with Him and be transformed into the same image as the Lord from glory to glory in the way He is making us the same as He is. It's only 11:15. I'm going to finish up in about 12 minutes, give you plenty of time to respond. Let's go through this delightful point again. The glory of the Lord is the glory of the resurrected and ascended Christ. So we should know and experience the resurrected and ascended Christ, who is the life-giving Spirit. We had a wonderful message on the life-giving Spirit. Dwelling in us. Okay, not visiting. Dwelling, living in us. To make Himself and all that He has accomplished, attained and obtained, real to us. Oh, what a spiritual future we have. Little by little, making all that He is, all that He has accomplished, to make it real to us. Well, one of the things He did, even when He was on the earth, He was incarnated to nullify the work of Satan. Then on the cross, He terminated every negative thing. And then when that becomes real to you, you'll have such an assurance and you'll come to know Him as ascension, and you'll realize that yes, you're sitting in that chair, but you're not only here, you're in another place at the same time simultaneously. We are all in ascension in the Spirit with the Lord, looking down to the enemies in the air. That is why we have the position to apply Christ's victory to the evil powers, and for the will of God to break through the air and reach the earth and be done on earth as in is in heaven, so that we may be one with Him and be transformed into the same image. We're all going to have the same image. We'll be able to identify each other. We'll recognize each other somehow. But we will all have the same expression, the same image, as the Lord from glory to glory. In this way, He is making us the same as He is. Well, we'll see in the next section a particular way in which we'll be the same as He is. But I mention this, the high peak of the divine revelation, that God became man, that man may become God in life and nature, but not in the Godhead, and not as an object of worship. But all of you parents, don't your children have the same life and nature that you have? But they don't have your position, they don't have your function. But they were born of you. We have the same life and nature that God has. And now through all that's expressed in point B, we realize He is making us the same as He is. Now when you got married, a brother married a sister, the only difference is that it's male and female. You want a mature human being, you someone who is attractive to you, someone who the two of you are one. And when the Lord comes for His bride, she will be like Him in so many ways. But the difference is He has the Godhead. We worship Him. This is actually taking place through the process, the ongoing process in life, in resurrection. And so we shouldn't try to feel the process. It's just like someone 15 years old, they want to grow, they hope to be over 6 feet, but you can't try to feel something today or ask, Mommy, am I taller than I was yesterday? No, but sometimes it's very fast, you know. So just don't be self-conscious about this. Just realize you're in a process. All of us. So don't kind of compare the process you're in, where you are. We're all in different stages. We're a big family. But what's in our heart that we will all arrive maturity to be rapture ready before the Lord comes back. Section 5. You were once darkness, but are now light in the Lord. Walk as children of light. As God is light, so we, the children of God, are children of light. Well, God is light, and we are born of God, so we're children of light. B, we are not only children of light, we are light itself. When you go back to work tomorrow, or school, or interact with people in your daily living, you will be walking in light because you are light. You've been born of light. God is light. You are light itself. And so, we are light because we are one with God in the Lord. When we are in the light, we are outside the realm of right and wrong. It's kind of sorrow for me to say, this is just a fact, it's not criticism, that so many dear saints in their daily living, they're living by the wrong tree. They're right or wrong believers in their living. And this is one thing I just observed in a close way with Brother Lee and Brother Nee. They did not live by the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. They lived by the tree of life. And this is an important thing for us to realize, that we're not in the realm of right and wrong. We're in the realm of the divine life and light. May the Lord train us to live in this realm, not have a daily living the same as an unbeliever, a right and wrong person. D, if we walk as children of light, we will bear the fruit described in Ephesians 5:9. The fruit of the light must be good in nature, righteous in procedure, and real in expression, that God may be expressed as the reality of our daily walk. The fruit of the light is goodness, righteousness, and truth, is related to the triune God. God the Father, as goodness, is the nature of the fruit of the light. Therefore, goodness, in verse 9, refers to God the Father. Righteousness refers to God the Son, for Christ came to accomplish God's purpose according to God's righteous procedure. See, truth, the expression of the fruit of the light, refers to God the Spirit, for He is the Spirit of reality. I just love this expression. He is the Spirit of reality. Lord, please saturate my being with the Spirit of reality. And now the final point. We're talking about something eternal now. This is where what we're going to be experiencing, unending. I don't know if there'll be time, the measure of time. And maybe we would say, Lord, we've now been here 87 million years. How can everything is new from you? You don't repeat anything. Everything is fresh. Everything is new. Well, we have eternal life. And we will live eternally under the shining of the triune God in Christ. They will see His face. The Lord will shine upon them. This is all of us in the coming age. To see the face of God and of the Lamb will be a blessing of the triune God, enjoyed by God's redeemed in eternity. God Himself in the Lamb will shine on us, and we will live forever under His glorious illumination. Let's read point B all together. God Himself in the Lamb will shine on us, and we will live forever under His glorious illumination. Now, in a moment, I'll just ask you to pray with someone nearby. But just a brief comment about coming to the microphone and sharing something. Please don't come and tell some story about your experience about this and that. Please share something from the message, or something that touched you, or something in your recent experience that illustrates the message. And so, anyone near close, don't just run there. Saints, I just long that saints that are back there, if there could be one or two that want to be able to come. So even in this particular matter, let's be one spirit with the Lord. So please pray for a minute, and then we'll testify.